Welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of October 18th, 2015. This is Jack Brissett Mills. We have a conversation today with Karel. We talked over Skype. But first, the verses for the week. This one I wrote 2 years ago, verse 29. The part of my thinking that is totally my own, I can hold and shape into a clear glass, where the secrets of worlds fire into focus. So I have done, so I can do, so I hope to do. And this second verse, 29a, also about the same Rudolf Steiner verse from his Calendar of the Soul for week 29. 29a, I wrote last year. Summer has taught me the slow penetration of light, the turning of a thought into flame, to prove a thing by letting it bloom full color within me, seeing its truth. This is my harvest to sustain me through winter. It was so nice to talk to Karel. We hadn't talked for quite a long time. And so thank you to this podcast for causing it to happen. Thank you, Karel. Lovely conversation.
In terms of like my life, it's interesting to notice in myself how, simple stability and kind of like small scale, even consumerism, really, it can be very pleasing to me. Like, I have my own little apartment and I go to work 8 to 5, and it's wonderful.
I know,
it's really great.
I guess what's wonderful is noticing it, how cool it is.
So you're
late 20s, you're feeling this efficiency, I would call it, of cutting away all the ideas that you could have done and you might have done. I mean, I almost think of it as every day. It may be a depressing thought, but how long ago did I give up the idea of being a ballerina? I was probably 2, 3. And so every day of my life, I've been giving up something and taking on something, holding on to something.
Right.
And I don't know that the 20s aren't the most wild for that. You're just deciding like crazy what you're doing in your 20s. It's really amazing to be in that decade.
Yeah. And I think it's cool to watch too, like the way that I'm, as far as like the ballerina, yeah, some stuff you let go of, and then some stuff I continue to cultivate things that are going to have long-term repercussions that will be available to me if and when I, do get my shit together and like write a book,
Right.
It's like, now I know people that can help me out, and get where I need to go. And that's kind of just something that I'm slowly building kind of at my own pace, which is really, I think in terms of thesis really is how I've done things for a long time, is kind of in a way more methodical or more slowly, it's interesting.
And then not to screw things up so much.
Right.
I mean, the poor people who have to keep moving because they screwed up and they have to leave town. But just the cumulative effect of not screwing up over year after year, you really do. More and more people know you, and more people remember you positively. And it really builds. I mean, I hadn't realized the feeling of a place of established, established people where I am now. I've been here maybe 15, 20 years. And there are thousands of people who know me. And there's really a value to that I hadn't realized. And just even walking down the street, everyone knows who I am in my neighborhood. And so, I kind of own the street.
Huh.
It's really funny. I own where I live. And
wow.
Having to move is is almost out of the question now, because that is so valuable. It's more valuable than money, really.
Mm.
And you're feeling that starting, then all this reputation that can come around you, and you start to get bigger and bigger by how many people know you in a good way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, there's something. What did you say? There's a line in Sensitive Beekeeping about how, you know, if the person that's known as always being late, like, that is, I think it's something about how that can hurt. It's, you know what I mean?
It hurts you if you, because you know that's what they think. I have so many friends who, when anyone says, they said they'd be here at 6, everyone rolls their eyes. They know that's not going to happen. And I don't think that anyone actually cares as much, but I do think those people care.
Mm-hmm.
You think they would anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's just you and I care, and maybe they're fine. They're fine that way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know people like that too, and I find that I have periods, which I'm kind of in one right now, actually, to be honest with you, where I kind of am that person sometimes, where I just can't quite seem to get it together, you know? And it's, I mean, part of it's because I'm kind of in the middle of this, you know, a heart romantic situation that's very, nice. You know, consuming.
Nice. Wonderful.
I mean, it's nice, but it's also, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm glad that I have such experiences. Yeah.
Of course.
But it does, I feel like I'm kind of living in a bit of a fog because of it. It's just like, what's going on? Like, you know? So anyway, like, I had dinner plans with a friend last night, and, you know, it was at 7. I thought it was going to be plenty of time, and get off work at 5, went for a run, 45 minutes, and then hop in the shower. And, you know, before I know it, it's 7, and I'm texting her, oh, I'll be there at 7:15. And then I didn't want to come empty-handed, so I wanted to run to the store and get, you know, flowers. And by the time I got there, it's 7:45, and I'm just like, oh, my God, what is wrong with me? Like, I felt so awful. And like, just driving there too, I'm just filled with this thing. So I've got to get there. Like, it was all I could think about was trying to get there, which wasn't really helping. This
no.
It's not like that was going to get me there any faster, you know? But, and then also just being like, okay, you know what? This is where I'm at. Like, she's my friend and she's going to understand. And so it's just, I mean, nothing's ever black and, you know, totally black and white. But, I think, you know, it goes in with the reputation of just wanting to be, and integrity, like, which is really important to me. You know, actions, being in alignment with your intentions.
There you are.
You know? Yeah, that's...
Because you could totally accept it that you are always an hour late, and you could totally be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could just not be late somehow. Right. I don't know how that works, but...
Right, yeah.
I have a good young friend. He's 16, I guess. And he would always rather be where he is than think about tomorrow or whatever. So he will not get his homework done. But I think he's cool because he's always would rather be in the moment.
Mm.
And I talked to his parents about it, that we shouldn't really be hard on him because we don't know how long any of us are going to be alive. And if we're scolding him for not leaving the conversation to go do his homework and then he dies in a month, what are we going to do about that? You know, here he is living his life. When does a person start living their life? How old are they?
Mm.
It's really hard to say. A parent has to really make some tough decisions about that.
That is, that's huge. I mean, that... Yeah, because on one hand, you know, you could just be like, well, he needs to learn how to, you know, focus and whatever.
Yes.
But that was one big thing that I really worked on when I was traveling in Thailand last year for those 2 months was I had this, you know, pocket guide of Teach Not Han. And he really talks about being in the moment, like mindfulness. That's like it's all about, you know. And I found it really difficult. Like, how do you do that? You know? And so luckily I was on this beautiful island with Teach Not Han, you know, so I would do these, you know, the walking meditation where you just breathe in the here, in the hair, and then you breathe out in the now. And I just focused on like on that, basically, and noticing what was around me. And so, I mean, basically, the your friend, it's like he already somehow has that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful, yeah.
So, yeah, and, like, yeah, he could get through school. He could, like, unlearn it to deal with getting his papers done or whatever. And then how it's so much – it's probably much harder to get it – to get back into it, you know?
Oh, yeah, if you left – if we taught him how to be on time with his assignments – then we, I, you know, people don't ever teach when you're young. They don't ever teach the really important things, the how to be quiet. We're just so gabby, talky all the time as little kids, most of the time, most of us.
Yeah.
And no one ever helps us. We have to come to it ourselves when they're about your age, like you did on this island. Mm-hmm. You start coming to it. But my God, you could have been told something about it, I think. I'm no parent. I don't have anyone to try it on. But boy, I don't know. It seems like someone should have given us some hint that, you know, you don't have to be talking all the time to yourself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that quote about, I can't remember, I think I saw it in The Week or something, but it's like, the older I, maybe even you posted it on Facebook or something, but it's like, the older I get, you know, the more I realize what things that don't need my opinion or something like that. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
But it is like that, the even in that, inherently in that quote, is that it takes so long to figure that out.
That's right. And your mindful walking, you, of course, the goal is to be doing that even in the midst of the throng and in the midst of the deadlines. And
yes,
my goodness, how to do that is so amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And then in terms of, you know, living your life for yourself or for other people, I mean, I don't think that's really a problem that I feel like I live my life pretty well for me, like pretty much for me. I mean, I think my friends are, well, you know, I'm learning more and more about myself. So maybe that's not totally true.
I don't know that you feel, maybe you do. My other friend I was talking to recently said he's in about the similar age to you, feels very selfish in his 20s. In a way, a guilty way, that he knows he has to be selfish. And he knows it's right to be selfish in his 20s, but he still doesn't really own it. He's still kind of guilty about it. I don't know if that rings with you at all. You were kind of talking about living for others.
Yeah, yeah. I think, I mean, there's different levels, of course, because there's the element of the privilege, you know, that we have in this country. I mean, just the basics, you know, safety, bombs aren't going off, clean water, you know, et cetera.
Right.
So yeah, sometimes that kind of, I mean, I don't really know how to frame, I mean, I don't know anything else and I don't know why I was born here and it, whatever. And I deal with, you know, whatever it might be because I'm a woman. So there's, you know, anyway, there's stuff there. But I think for me, like this, I'm trying to become more selfish in the way that I, like not thinking that you know what everyone else wants and trying to give it to them, basically. I mean, over the past like few months, I've been working with this really awesome therapist, Kim. And I know when I went in back in March, you know, I told her, like, there's really no one that I am really totally myself with. Like, there's like all my friends, like I'm always like kind of heightening myself or somehow performing, you know, I'm not just kind of being myself. And, you know, I think there have been periods where I have been, I mean, I think it, you know, when are you ever truly yourself? You know, you're always being, someone's always, you know, bringing out a certain energy in you, but it was just, it was weird to come to that realization and it was painful. And since then, you know, I mean, she asked me, okay, what would it look like? What would it look like for you to be yourself? You know,
wonderful question.
Such a good question. And so I tried it next time I went over to my friend's house, who I'd been thinking I didn't want to hang out anymore because of the way that I felt, so like I was trying to be the right person. And it just wasn't, I still felt like she didn't, you know, wasn't appreciating me. And so I was like, okay, what would it look like? What would I be doing right now if I was just like doing what I wanted to do? And, well, for one thing, I was kind of hungover. I had just come back from this long weekend of partying. Right. Right. But what I wanted to do was just kind of, the TV was on, we were kind of all watching a game or something. And I didn't, instead of like engaging or whatever, I just kind of like laid back and like was on my phone reading like an article about something, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, this is really what I want to be doing. And this is, I want it to be okay that I'm not engaging. I'm here, but I'm like on my phone or whatever. Like, and it was totally fine. Yeah. And furthermore, like I felt like my friend kind of was like taking more of an interest in me in a way, you know, it was really interesting. And so, yeah, so since that time, you know, our friendship has transformed in subtle ways because I'm like, you know, it takes courage. It takes courage, I think, to be yourself, obviously. One of the reasons why these people get under our skin is because of the way, well, again, it's like the way they make us feel. And so this person, like, I feel like I can really be myself around him. Like, and it's a version of myself that I really like, but it's a natural version. It's thrilling, but it's myself, you know, like what more can you really ask for, you know?
Excellent.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it is an illness to have to please others. There's an action. I think they even have names for it in the psychological community. But I've known people who are married to people like that, and they're so charming, but they have a need to please whoever they're with. So, if you're with them long term, you realize they don't have any core personality of their own. They are whoever I want them to be. Which is why I fell in love with them. They were so wonderful. They were exactly what I wanted.
Right.
But then you realize that they're actually having an illness. And very interesting. Human beings are so complicated. I've often wanted to be an anthropologist, cultural anthropologist.
Yeah.
I guess I kind of am as a piano tuner. I see so many different people for 1 or 2 hours at a time in their homes.
Oh. Wow.
But... I mean, I applaud you for coming to what everyone, I suppose, feels is that I feel like I can't be myself. But really, it's not the others that make you feel that way. You yourself were making you feel that way. And now you realize you don't have to do that. And everyone else goes, oh, good. I'm glad you're finally being yourself. I love you more like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if there are people that I, you know, it's also the people that I don't feel that I can be myself with, that, you know, you stop hanging out with those people, I guess. I mean, that's another thing about sobriety. And I think I read that in this great memoir called Blackout, Sarah Heppala, it's a great book. But she said something like, you know, one thing about sobriety is you realize, you know, who you can be yourself around and then who you can't be. And like, you basically just only hang out with the people that you feel comfortable with because you don't have booze to just, you know, the social lubrication is missing. And so it's like, okay, I'm not going to spend my time with these people that make me feel like shit about myself.
Yeah. And that's the bravery again. That's the courage to leave your little group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I stopped marijuana years ago, my friends didn't like it that I stopped. Of course they didn't, because what am I saying? Am I saying I'm better than you? Am I saying I'm healthier than you? And so I thought it was brilliant at the time, and it worked. I told these people, boy, don't ever quit, I told them. Because when you quit, you can't really take it up again very easily. It makes you sick. And they suddenly felt sympathy. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. And so I could still be with them, and they...
Wow.
They weren't feeling judged by me then.
Wow.
But leaving, of course, works. When I went off to become a Waldorf teacher, when I showed up at the new city, I could be a new person because nobody knew who I was. And suddenly I didn't drink and I didn't smoke and I pretended that I meditated all the time, you know. I could be this spiritual person. And I think that's a lot of people can't get away. They don't have the money. They don't have the ability to get away from that little group that is holding them back. Mm.
Yeah.
But like you said, otherwise you have to be brave, which you apparently were, and wonderful.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So do you feel an approaching change of, I mean, people talk about being 30 all the time, like it's some huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember it myself. It's so long ago now for me that it wasn't anything. At 21 was nothing. I looked around when I was 21. I said, this is nothing different. Nothing, nothing happened to me. You know, you're told it's going to be so different, you know, and then
right.
Nothing really happens. I mean, do you feel like it's something coming toward you or no?
So I'll be 28 next month, and it seems like, you know, I think just in the last week I've kind of come to peace with it, but I was kind of pressing the heels in. I was not happy about turning 28.
it sounds kind of old.
It sounds so old. That's serious. Like 28 is fucking serious.
You're starting to get shit got real, they say.
So, and it's weird too how far away I feel from, I mean, when you said 21, I'm just like, I remember being 21, and I remember, you know, what I was doing and where I was on my 21st birthday and, you know, where I was living, everything, but it seems so far away. I can't actually imagine, like, I'll see early 20s kids around town, and I'm just like, these people are so young. Like, it shocks me. Like, I'll see people, you know, I'll see someone that works at Trader Joe's, and I'll just be like, what are they, 16? Like, they're so young. Like,
put yourself 30 years, 40 years in the future, and imagine how that feels looking at the 16-year-olds driving and fixing your computer or whatever they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. When I see kids driving, yeah. I mean, last night I had dinner with a friend who has two teenagers, 16 and 19, and her kids are just awesome. Like, I loved talking to, especially Connor, the 16-year-old. He's just so rad. So it really, the age just melted away. Like, and I generally tend to have lots of a big variety of ages friend, you know? But that was really reassuring to me, because I'm like, okay, good. It's not, you know, it's okay. but yeah, I mean, I think I've always kind of thought that for some reason, like, I've pictured myself at, you know, 40 or something. And I have this very, you know, kind of romantic image of myself, like in this like farmhouse, you know, on some beautiful trees and sitting on the porch. Like, I mean, I used to think of it with, you know, something nice to drink and like a cigarette, you know, probably not drink, maybe like some, you know, sparkling water. Who knows? I mean, who knows? But anyway, like I've thought of myself at like the later age of like, you know, 40s and just be like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm just going to continue to like blossom, I guess. But it also definitely, I mean, it freaks me out a little bit. I mean, sometimes like I'll think about how there is no one on my horizon that I would marry or have children with right now. And that's like, you know, I mean, it's not like I'm in a rush or anything, but it's like, there is, you know, there is a little bit of like, okay, like 35, I don't know. Like if I want to have kids,
you
like
start doing the math. Yeah,
exactly. And I can't, in a way, I can't believe that that's where I'm at, that I'm actually like doing that kind of calculation, because I literally could not imagine like having a kid around, and I don't want one right now, but I do want one at some point, and at some point is going to keep getting close. Anyway, I mean, I have a sense that it's just going to all fall into place. But it also is just kind of like, okay, 30 is the new, I don't know what it is, but
I mean, women have an extra burden, of course. I think at least I didn't have any of that thought.
Mm-hmm. You never wanted to have kids?
Well, that's also true, but I never had the calculation either that what if I did and what age am I? I think, well, some of these men can just have kids at what an age he is. Strom Thurmond, I think, was one of our senators, mm-hmm. not And he was still having kids when he was 80 or something.
What?
Crazy. I mean, there's less limit on males than on females for that.
That's but, wild, yeah.
I mean, he wasn't someone to aspire to,
right.
personally
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But the feeling of 30, I mean, categorization isn't so nice. I was thinking that the first three decades you're young, the middle three you're middle, and the last three you're old. I'm just entering the last three in a few years, and you're just entering the middle three. And I don't know. It's, again, with this awareness of every step and every breath, it's not something to think about. It's a creation of your mind to feel bad about. You are where you are.
Mm. Yeah.
And I have to say, every year I've been alive, in the last 30 anyway, I've said this was the best year of my life. And
oh, wow.
And I hope, I mean, you must feel that about this year, right?
I think so, yeah, yeah.
And
well,
just,
I mean...
I'm sure... Go ahead.
Yeah, the first couple months of it were... were pretty rough, but it was definitely better than last year. I mean, but yeah, I know I appreciate your point because it. Yeah, I think. I mean, there's not really. I don't really regret that much, you know. Just because I think it's on principle, it's a waste of energy.
Yeah.
And you know the whole thing about my experience has brought me to where I am, and
yes.
you know that. Yeah, so. As far as like it being better, like the best, I mean, I can think of things that happened last year that have brought me, you know, to where I am now. And even if there's like cringeworthy moments, it's like, okay, you know, but
the wisdom you have, you're gaining wisdom, right? You're getting smarter.
I think so.
And
yeah.
it's worth more than the body. It's worth more than, at least as far as I'm concerned, I certainly wouldn't care a fig about being a young man again if I had to give up what I know. I was darn stupid. I'm so glad not to be stupid anymore. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, you have really high standards. I doubt that very much.
I don't know. I guess comparatively speaking, it's like being in love. You're always, every time you're in love, it's the most you can have, most you can possibly have. But then later you fall in love again and you go, well, that was nothing last time. This this is the amazing thing.
Right.
But I'm kind of sappy, though. So.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't meet Barbara till I was 30, right? 20, 29.
Really?
Yeah, so plenty of time, plenty of time.
Did you know right away, like when you met her, that...
I have to tell you that when I went to a different state and met her there by chance, so-called. But I knew, you know, who knows if it's that I was ready to meet my spouse.
Mm.
And therefore, anyone I met, I would have married them. or was I clairvoyant and I knew my barber was there? Who knows? I have no idea.
Interesting.
You can't go back and try it again.
Yeah.
But,
well, I mean, she must have been in a similar, it's like a synchronistic, you know, she must have been in the same.
She thought she wasn't, and I really had to talk her into it myself.
Really?
I really did. She was just told herself, nothing's going to distract me. I'm on my little career path now. And,
right.
And,
wow.
And so I had a hard job.
Wow.
Anyway. But I don't know if you have the feeling. I kind of think you have the feeling that now is right, and you really start looking at people differently.
Mm.
Otherwise, it really is that there's, I mean, who knows? I have no idea. I tend to think there is some purpose to the world. And so, yeah, there, I actually knew she was there.
Mm.
And that either one of those explanations can be true. And
right.
you should pick the one that makes you feel better.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm getting closer to finding, you know, I keep hoping that there's someone out there that is really going to just make my whole being, like, that's just going to line up, you know, that's kind of the visual I have of it, where I can just face that person and they face me and it's just like light emanating, you know?
Yep.
I've fallen in love many times, like, I realized after my first, you know, serious relationship, I realized when I fell in love that time I realized that I had fallen in love before, which I didn't think was true. Like, I hadn't thought I'd ever really, really been in love. But then when I fell in love with him, it was like, oh yeah, I know this feeling. I've been here before. Just this time it was like, you know, mutual, and we were both allowing ourselves to fall together. So it was special and it was different, you know? But I haven't really, you know, I haven't fully found that person where it's just like, yes, this is right. Like, this is lasting. Like, this, I want to be with this person forever. Like, and so, and I mean, part of me is glad, like, I'm glad that I, that my life has not been, you know, that I've been my own, partner for, you know, most of the time. And,
yep. Well, you will be a better partner since you can be alone. You'll be a better partner. Mm-hmm. I'm sure of that.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I'm getting closer to, I mean, along the lines of, you know, being comfortable behaving how I want to around people. It's like, gosh, like, that's really crucial. Like, I got to be able to do that in a relationship. Like,
yep.
I don't want to fake it. I don't, yep. I want to be able to be real.
Yep.
And so I think as that continues to develop with this work I'm doing, you know, I think I'll continue to get closer. And I mean, I think, you know, some people say you're vibrating at a different, you know, you're going at a different vibration. So you're attracting, you know, these other,
yep.
these higher level people or whatever to yep. you. So maybe yep. there's truth to that too.
I mean, it's this, this paradox where if you're looking for your partner, you can't find them. And so if you really focus on your task, they just get in your way and they stop you from your task.
Right.
In a way, you find them by not looking. It's really very complicated, I'm sure, but also very simple.
Mm.
Anyway, blessings on your...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, hopefully it'll all smooth itself out.
Yeah. Such a mystery.
Yeah, it really is.
Because it's everything.
Mm.
I mean, it's everything. Well, mm. Once you have it, of course, it's everything. And then if you're healthy about it, you realize that it didn't have to be that way and you could have been alone. And, you know, I've always felt that the reason I'm happy is that I know I can be alone and she knows she can be alone. And we actually choose to be with each other.
Wow.
I think that's, for us anyway, that's why it's so good.
Yeah, that seems like really, really powerful.
And so we also don't put up with anything. Oh, I wanted to mention too that if you can find someone, and this is another paradox, that you both believe the other one is beyond you in a certain way, that they're really so far ahead that you have to be your very best to keep up with them. For some reason, Barbara and I had that and have that. It's very weird. When I met her, I said, oh my God, I met an angel. I've got an angel here. And I really had to straighten up my act.
Wow.
And somehow she had the same feeling.
Hmm.
It's very weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool.
Anyway, it's possible.
Nice.
Well, Corral, thank you so much for talking.
Thank you so much. Wow, this has been really
very
great.
Very cool. And so, yeah, give this a try with somebody else. And just let it happen, you know?
Yeah, I really did just, it felt natural, you know?
Yeah. Good.
Elevated listening.
I love you, Corral. Have a great night.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was sweet. Thank you again, Corral. If you have comments or suggestions, go to my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net, and drop me a line. This is Jack Bressett Mills. Bye-bye.